Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Time to get you dialed into the biggest stories of the day. This is the Daily 10 with Matt Chernoff.
All right, folks, away we go. Thanks for joining us, or in this case, us would be me, for the Daily 10. I'm your host, Matt. Thanks for making us a part of your day. If you're new to the podcast, hello. If you would, please subscribe, and this will be waiting for you each and every day. I want to thank all of you who have subscribed. The numbers just keep growing and growing, and we love that. If you would, when you're done listening, leave a rating, leave a review, and I should change my language to subscribe and follow, as our friends with Apple Podcasts are now telling us. We'll get to the Falcons schedule leaks, or maybe these are just leaked on purpose, coming up in a moment, and some Hawks, but let's start with the Braves, who lost last night 5-3 to the Blue Jays, a chance to get over 500 for the first time this season. It goes by the boards. Braves now 17-18, and it was a frustrating loss because the Braves were the better team for 7 of the 9 innings, but you don't get an award for that. The shame of it is the Braves wasted a really good start from Bryce Wilson, who went 6 innings, gave up just 2 runs, couple of hits, no walks, struck out 5. He made 1 mistake. It was an opposite field home run to Vlad Guerrero. Other than that, that was really good Bryce, and again, it was wasted. It became a sloppy game late again. The Braves have had some of these issues when it comes to just fielding their position at times, and that has not been a Braves issue in the last 3 years. They've always picked the ball very well. So last night, it was A.J. Minter in the 8th. He allows a leadoff double. Then on a comebacker right back to him, A.J. hesitates instead of throwing the ball back to second base quickly. If he does that, he gets the Blue Jays runner in a rundown, tag him out. Braves have a runner at first and one out. Or if AJ's just pumps back to second, there's a chance that Davis, the runner, goes back to second. He just gets the simple out at first base. Well, neither happened. And all of a sudden, AJ was in the soup. Next thing you know, the bases are loaded. In comes Jacob Webb. Webb gets a soft grounder to Freddie Freeman. Now, Snit said postgame, Freddie couldn't handle the ball cleanly and he was going to throw home. So if Freddie had done that, his claim was that Jacob Webb, who just stood on the mound, had he been running to first to cover the bag, as we most assume would be the case there, he would have been in the line of Freddie's throw. I don't know. It sounded like Snit was protecting Jacob Webb, because I still think by anticipation you go to cover the bag either way. Neither happened, and another run scored, and it was just a frustrating turn of events. Add to that, Jacob Webb had a 4-pitch walk with one out that forced in another run. And an inning that maybe could have ended at worst with a tie game, Blue Jays had a 2-run lead. So Minter has been really good for the most part, has pitched a lot for the Braves. I saw this number from DOB at The Athletic that now Minter's pitched in 18 of the Braves' first 35 games. Only 3 relievers have more appearances than AJ, and the leader has 20. So, I mean, at this pace, you're going to wear AJ out by August. Remember the old Flaherty, Venters, Kimbrel days? That's where this one is trending. The Braves got a good night from a couple of guys offensively. Ronald Acuna was 2-for-4 with a home run. A couple of runs scored in an RBI. Marcell Ozuna, another home run, which is good to see in an RBI. And Ozzie had a hit in an RBI. The biggest one of the night, it was good to see Christian Pache hit a ball hard opposite field that looked like it was going to get out. It ended up being a double. It was about a foot away from a home run. Hopefully that gets Pache going. He was 0 for his last 23 leading into that AB, so that's good news. Now, I mentioned the Braves hit a couple of long balls in the game, and if indeed the Chicks still dig the long ball, even at 17-18, they dig the Braves. The Braves, with their 2 home runs last night, lead all of baseball with 51 home runs. So even through some of the offensive issues, they can still hit the ball out of the ballpark, which in 2021 baseball, over 162-game season, it's a difference maker. Braves and Blue Jays will play game 2 of their series tonight with Hyunjin Ryu, who's been a Braves killer, against Max Fried at 7:20. All right, let's transition to the Hawks, who are back at it tonight with the Wizards. They'll play them for the second time now in 3 days at State Farm with a 7 o'clock tip. That game has been moved up to a 7 o'clock tip. The Hawks are a win away from clinching a top 6 seed, which we know they're going to get, but it becomes official with one more win to avoid the play-in. But I think the Hawks have bigger fish to fry. And thanks to the Knicks losing last night on the West Coast to the Lakers in overtime, look at the standings this morning. The Hawks, the Knicks, and the Heat are all deadlocked at 38 and 31, tied for the 4 seed, which is 3 games to go in the regular season. The Knicks hold the tiebreaker over the Hawks. The Hawks hold the tiebreaker over the Heat if it comes down to a couple of teams being tied. But it is worth noting, if all 3 teams finish with the identical record, the Hawks would then get the 4 seed. So a lot to play for over the next 3 games. The Knicks have all 3 of theirs at home with the Spurs, Charlotte, and Boston. The Heat's final 3 have the Sixers at home, at Milwaukee, and then at Detroit. And we know the Hawks finish up at home tonight with Washington, tomorrow night with the Magic, and then home on Sunday with the Houston Rockets. All right, happy schedule release day in the NFL. Yes, the NFL schedule will drop officially tonight around 8 o'clock with the full schedules coming out, but there will be leaks all throughout the day, and we've already not just gotten leaks, they've officially dropped week 1. This was going to be the new plan that I know Good Morning America was going to release the Monday Night Football game in week 1. Fox was going to announce their schedule, but now we have all of week 1. The Atlanta Falcons will host the Philadelphia Eagles September 12th in week 1. So Jalen Hurts will lead a pretty mediocre Eagles club into Mercedes-Benz. It's an Eagles team going through major transition like the Falcons. They have big salary cap issues. They moved on from Carson Wentz. It might be one of the few times early in the season the Falcons are a favorite. So they start at home September 12th with the Eagles. We also know the world champion, oh, that sounds harsh to say, oh, I don't like it. The world champion Tampa Bay Bucks will open Thursday night, September 8th. They'll kick off the NFL season at home against Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. Dak makes his return after his injury a year ago. The Saints will open up their season at home Sunday, September 12th, with a 4:25 kick against the Packers. So the post-Drew Brees era begins with Jameis against Aaron Rodgers, we think, if Aaron is still in Green Bay. As far as the rest of the week 1 schedule, Jacksonville is at Houston, so that could be Trevor Lawrence against Deshaun Watson, if Deshaun's the quarterback in Houston. Pittsburgh at Buffalo, looks like a good week 1 matchup. Jets at Carolina, so you'll have a chance to have Sam Darnold against his former team. Zach Wilson probably gets the start for the Jets. Arizona at Tennessee in week 1. The Chargers will play at Washington against the Washington football guys. Minnesota's at Cincinnati, San Francisco's at Detroit, Seattle at Indy in the debut of Carson Wentz, and then the late Sunday window, Denver's at New York against the Giants, Cleveland is at Kansas City, and Miami is at New England. Sunday night football, week 1, Bears at the Rams, and the first time the Rams will, I assume, have fans at their new stadium. And then the Monday night game, which will only be one, no doubleheader this year, will be Baltimore and Vegas from Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. That is week 1 of the schedule. All right, back to the Falcons for a second. The Falcons get an opener at home, which is nice, but remember, the Falcons will only play 7 home games. They'll travel 10 times. So, yes, they'll play 10 road games. The London game is called a home game, but when you travel in the NFL, and the NFL is all about routine, you're making 10 road trips. So the Falcons already have an uphill climb here with a roster that's in transition, a new head coach, and only 7 home games. So think about it. After they play the opener against the Eagles, the Falcons only have 6 more home games over the next 17 weeks of the regular season. Number one, the league's got to change this now that the 17-game schedule has been implemented, where if you're playing a London game, it should only come in years where you have a 9th home game. So when you lose the home game every once in a blue moon, well, now you're playing 8 and it's more equitable. So that's part one. Part two, when the schedule gets released tonight, you're going to see scenarios where the Falcons are on the road 3 straight weeks, where they play 4 of 5 on the road, where they play 5 of 7 on the road. There's just no way the math works out any other way. And the way it'll be disguised is it'll list the London game as a home game. Folks, there might be a shot tonight where the Falcons, when the schedule drops, have 2 3-game road trips in the same calendar year, which is brutal. Doesn't mean you can't overcome it. Doesn't mean you can't win on the road. But two things. Number one, the Falcons haven't been good at home since they moved into Mercedes-Benz. So let's be positive. Let's say in the seven-game home schedule, the Falcons go 5-2. Falcons have only won five games at home once since they moved to Mercedes-Benz. That was in 2017. Overall, the Falcons are 14-18 in their new building since they moved from the Georgia Dome. But let's say they go 5-2. Well, if you're going to get to 9 or 10 wins, you got to find 4 or 5 road victories, which good teams routinely do. Marginally talented teams, it's a much tougher road to hoe. And it also reminds you, like, your margin for error at home is so small that winning 5 games is almost a must in a 7-game home schedule to give yourself a puncher's chance to be in the playoff chase late in the season. So we'll see what the rest of the schedule looks like tonight. We'll talk about it all tomorrow. And we'll just be able to look at all the different dates and times, which is always fun for football fans. All right, if you guys would, hit that subscribe button. This will be waiting for you each and every day, wherever you get your favorite podcast on your favorite platform. You can also follow along as well. Leave those ratings and reviews. They're always appreciated. And again, when you see me mention the pod on social media, give it a like or retweet. Pass the message to a friend or 10. I'll be with Chuck Oliver this afternoon in Atlanta on 680 The Fan at 3 o'clock. Back again tomorrow for the next edition of The Daily 10.
Subscribe to The Daily 10 now and get the latest breaking news and biggest stories of the day every morning. Get more at 680thefan.com or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google, or wherever you get your favorite shows.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.